Good day. It is great that we can worship together today, no matter where we find ourselves. So welcome to this week's podcast from Berea Baptist Church in Durham, North Carolina. We're so glad that we have this opportunity to worship. It's a real blessing that we can worship in this manner. And we continue to see these virtual activities, and we will enjoy them, and we will continue them even as we begin to move towards face-to-face worship in the future. So as we begin today's celebration, we lift our hands up to the Lord in praise, and we thank God for the opportunity to experience this day and that all that it brings to us. Our message today is going to be the reason for our hope. This is going to be the first message in a new six-part series based on the same title, and it's providing encouraging messages from Paul, taken from his first letter to the Thessalonians. Today we will look at our need for hope and the reasons we can be a people of hope by looking at scriptures, first from the book of Job, and then the psalmist, Psalm 42. And then finally, taking a look just at the opening greeting and the final ending of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. You see, the reason for our hope is a relevant message, particularly today, in the midst of our turmoils at home and abroad. We live in a world where truth is seen as relative to our wants. Our increasingly secular society leads us to question our existence and our very purpose. The pandemic has many of us fearful of our health and for our health. Instead of being more tolerant and understanding and accepting of others, we want people to conform to our views of truth. We face economic hardships. Racial, ethnic, and gender groups are being pitted against each other. Where is the truth? Where is justice? Where is mercy, unconditional love, and grace? You see, by the end of the worship service today, it is our prayer that we will see that Jesus Christ is the reason for our hope. Our life's purpose is grounded in our acceptance and embracing of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You see, we will see the world differently when we see it through Jesus' eyes, through the eyes of unconditional love, and as persons are recipients and recipients of God's unmerited grace and mercy. Today, at Berea, we want to recognize some of our members' birthdays and anniversaries. And so we're going to give a shout out to Henry Watkins. His birthday is Thursday, June 4th. Henry, happy birthday. Phil and Gwen, y'all got an anniversary coming up, so enjoy. Yeah, you got to remember that. Don't forget that. So happy anniversary to Phil and to Gwen. Saturday, June the 6th. Birthdays and anniversaries are important, so if you're listening and you've had a birthday or an anniversary this week, we do want to wish you a happy birthday and a happy anniversary. If you know someone that's had a birthday this week or an anniversary this week, reach out to them. Let them know that you remember them and you're honoring their birthday and their anniversary. We also want to continue to remember persons in prayer, people that have been impacted by the pandemic, healthcare workers, persons experiencing all types of financial concerns, decision makers, persons that are living alone, persons that are concerned about their families and how things are going to work out. As we begin to move out and about more, keep us safe. Also, continue to bless our churches as we continue to meet virtually and also prepare for meeting face-to-face as more and more churches are moving in that direction. And so we pray for safety in all of those activities. And so we're so thankful that we can do that. We also lift up the prayer requests that are on the hearts of all of you who are listening to the podcast. We also lift up our country, and we ask God to guide us as we seek solutions to the multiple problems we face. May we be guided by the principles of unconditional love, grace, and mercy in our quest for a better life. May God be in control and guiding everything that we do. Here at Berea, we continue to pray for Laurie and Mike Gentry. We pray for continued healing and the strength to face daily challenges. We also want to remember Jessica, who recently has returned from a brief stay in the hospital. Ann Williams, Linda Fogelman, Perry Behringer, and Juanita and Aubrey Vickers, and William Small. I also ask that you remember my wife, Carol. She will be having surgery this Friday, so please remember her, some repair work that needs to be done. We're also happy to report that David Robinson has finished his first round of treatments for leukemia and is at home. And so we are glad that he has completed that. So at this time, may we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we are blessed to be your children. We are blessed, even in the midst of all the turmoil that we encounter, the challenges that we encounter, to know that we do not face these alone, and that you do provide for us, and that your provision is enough. Help us to draw closer to you and not further away at these times. When we are uncertain about things, help us to look to you for the certainty that we need. Help us to consider you first rather than as a last resort. For each person that has been mentioned and is on the minds of listeners today, we lift them up to you. We place them on your throne of grace. And we ask for healing. We ask for strength. We ask for direction. We ask that we may feel your presence. For our country, we pray for healing. May we as a people again turn to God. May we turn to God for help, for strength, for direction, for purpose. Heal our land, dear Lord, and continue to bless us and help us to work through the issues that we face in a way that shows compassion and dignity for every life. Be with us. Help us to see the world as you see it. and help us to extend the love and the grace and the mercy that you would extend. Dear Lord, we lift all of these prayers up to you, and we are confident that you hear them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's children's story got a little bit of surprise here. I'm going to walk over here. We'll just pretend like we're outside and, what do we got here? Oh, I noticed the flag's up. Does anybody know what this is? Yeah, you're right. It's a mailbox. It's a nice mailbox, too. And the flag's up. What do you think that means? You're right. It might be some mail inside. So let's take a look. How many of you like to see the person delivering the mail? How many of you like to go to the mailbox? Particularly if you think there might be something inside for you. Now here's something that helps us understand the difference between being younger and older. Generally when we're younger, we look forward to when the mail comes. There might be something in there for us. As we get older, we kind of sometimes just assume not go to the mailbox because there might be some letters in there that are bills that we just don't want to necessarily look at. So sometimes it can be a mixed blessing, but generally we like to get the mail. So let's open this up and let's see what we might see in here. Oh, here's a letter. Oh, this is from one of the rescue missions. You know, they help people. And so sometimes we get these letters. These are some requests that we try to provide some help. And so that's some good mail. We definitely want to open that up and look at that and see if there might be a way that we could help. Oh, let's see what else I got in here. Oh, mail, a DVD. Oh, it might be a movie in there. Oh, yeah. How many of you like to watch the movies? And you might have ordered some movies, even if you didn't download them. You might have ordered some so that you could put them in the car. And when you're traveling and you're riding, you can watch the movie. Yeah, we like those. Oh, what else we got here? Oh, I got a magazine here. Oh, yeah, this is like a little wish book. And look on the front. It has something for children. It says, an adventure Bible. This is a Bible that's written just for children. Yeah, we might want to look at that and see what's in there. In fact, you may have one like that, a Bible story book that your parents or your grandparents or those that are taking care of you may be reading to you. You know, that's very, very important. And I got one more thing in here. Oh, this is a book, but this is a special book. This is part of the Bible, and I want to read something to you in it. It's a letter. Did you realize that the Bible has some letters in it? It's kind of like mail in that respect. And so I want to read you a couple of verses, and then I want to remind you of something. This is from a letter that Paul, one of the early followers of Jesus, wrote to a group of people in Thessalonica. He helped start a church there. And so he wanted to send them a message. And so he wrote a letter to them. And he started off like this. Paul and Silas and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians. In God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, that letter could also have said to the church at Berea. Because that's where you go. And that's where we've had this children's story. So it could have just as easily said to the church at Berea. And let me let you in on something else. It could have just as easily had your name there and my name there. Because you see, this letter is written for us, for each one of us. And it can be shared. So, here's our learning lesson today. What I just showed you is part of the Bible. So you will see the letter B. The letter I And then notice we have another letter that looks just like that first one. So it's a what? B. That's right. And then we have an L and we have an E. Now, the Bible is important because it tells us about this word. So you notice the letter G. You notice this letter, that's an O, that's right. And here's a D. You see, the Bible is about God. And we're wanting you to learn your letters, to recognize your letters, and to be able to put together a few words. Because here's the bottom line. You'll start to read before long. And one of the books that you want to read is the Bible. And I want you to think about something. The Bible is like God sending you some mail. It's for you. And so when you can read, you'll be able to read it for yourself. But here's some good news. While you're learning to read, ask your parents and your grandparents and those that are taking care of you to read you the Bible and to tell you some of the stories that are there. Because this is where we learn about God's love for you and me and how we can also love each other. Have a great week, and we'll see you again next week. Remember, you've got mail. God has sent you the Bible. It is indeed wonderful. And it's the best news we could hear. Our Old Testament reading, we have two today. One is from the book of Job. Now, if you look at it, it looks like Job, but it's Job. And we're going to look at chapter 17 and look at verses 11 through 15. You see, we want to talk about and we want to reflect on and really seriously consider why we should be a people of hope. Why in this world, this COVID-19 world that we now live in, why should we be a people of hope and why should we have hope? And so I want to begin with a story about a person that was in many situations we would see as without hope because all kind of things were happening to him. And yet, notice what he says. Job chapter 17, verse 11. My days have slipped by. My plans have been ruined. Now, I know there's some amens on that one. There are a lot of plans that have been ruined recently. We know about that. Things haven't quite worked out the way we would like them. And even the things dear to my heart, they turned night into day and made light seem near in the face of darkness. If I await Sheol as my home, spread out in my bed in darkness, and say to corruption, you are my father, and to the maggot or the flies, my mother or my sister, where then is my hope? So you see, Job is in the midst of suffering. Job is in the midst of a mess. And he's raising a very honest question. Where is my hope? Who can see any hope for me? Good question. Honest question. A real question. One that you may have asked or are in the process of asking today. But we know that it doesn't stay there because Job was a person of faith and he was able to work through all of these struggles. He was able to persevere because he knew what the psalmist also knows. So I invite you to turn to Psalm chapter 42, and let's look at verses 1 through 5. Psalms is the very next book, right after the book of Job. And it goes like this. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. While all day long people say to me, where is your God? I remember this as I pour out my heart. How I walked with many, leading the festive procession to the house of God with joyful and thankful shouts. And I know there are many people right now that are really wanting to get together again face to face and really celebrate and shout unto the Lord. And then in verse 5 he says, why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Now, here is the point that you don't want to miss. We've seen the heartaches in both of these passages up to this point. But notice this turning point, this tipping point that is in this scripture. Put your hope in God, for I will still praise Him, my Savior and my God. In the midst of whatever you are facing right now, you have reason for hope, and your hope is in God. God is your Savior. So, our plans don't always turn out as we desire. We face disappointments. People do let us down. We are betrayed. Murphy's Law does set in. Clear paths aren't always clear right now. What should have been simple isn't. We experience detours. We become frustrated and we are discouraged. Sometimes we are tempted to lose hope, to quit, to throw in the towel. We may even wonder, has God abandoned me? Given the calamities Job faced, we might understand how a person could succumb to pressure, temptation, and tragedies. But Job pushed through this. He pushed through it. He admitted he was experiencing challenge and difficulties, but he pushed through it. I'm really reminded here of track runners. I really have an admiration for persons that run track. That's a sport that takes a whole lot out of you. It takes a whole lot of commitment. All sports do. But this one is a very personal one in terms of how you embrace and map out that race. And I'm particularly intrigued by the 800-meter race. It's one of those in-between races. It's neither long nor short. It's kind of in the middle. And you'll find two types of runners, and actually more than that, but two basic types of runners as they approach that race. Some are out the gate at the beginning, and they'll maintain that pace all the way through. There's another type of runner that'll lag behind just a little bit. And then that second time around, in that last turn, they'll sprint to the finish line as everyone else is just trying to hang on. There's that burst of energy and speed that comes. But here's something that we need to remember. Whichever way you run that race, you talk to a runner, and they will tell you that at some point in a race like that, you feel like you're running with weights on your ankles. Your legs are so heavy, you really have to push through it to be able to finish it. Well, you know, life is like that. We have to push through our challenges so that we do not lose hope. Sometimes we long to feel God's presence, particularly as we're going through trials and tribulations. We thirst for God's living water that quenches that thirst by giving us a sense of peace and stability. Sometimes we need to pour our hearts out to God. We need to experience those tearful and sleepless nights. But we also know that joy comes in the morning. We have hope because we know that God loves us and that His love is unconditional. We don't have to live in a state of turmoil and rejection because we can put our hope, or another way of saying it, we can put our trust in God, who is our Savior. We need a Savior. We cannot save ourselves. Self-help only goes so far. Determination and willpower is not enough. You see, it's not about us and how much we love ourselves. It's about God and how much God loves you and me. John 3:16. Jesus is the reason for our hope. He bore our sins. He is the gateway to eternal life. He is our Lord and Savior. And in the words of the popular gospel song, popularized by Ernie Haas, "Oh, what a Savior He is."
Trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me beneath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I praise Him more and more.
Yes, indeed, we can trust Jesus. He is the reason for our hope. And this is why we want to trust Him with everything in our life, to trust Him more. Today I want to share with you the first part and the last part of the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, the greeting and the conclusion. So 1 Thessalonians 1:1 goes as follows, and you may remember some of this from the children's story. Paul, Silvanus or Silas and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this expression, because we're going to come back to this. It's very important. Grace to you and peace. A lot of times we read this and we don't really pause to see what all is behind it. So we're going to come back to that. And then if you'll turn to the very end of the first letter, chapter 5, let's begin with verse 25 and look at the verses to the end. Brothers and sisters, or you may have a translation that says brethren. Brothers and sisters, pray for us also. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this letter be read to all the brothers and sisters. Then notice how he concludes it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Now you say, well, that's just an opening and the closing of a letter. Well, it is, but it's more to it than that. And we're going to be looking, taking a deep dive into 1 Thessalonians over the next 6 weeks, counting this Sunday. See, today we're looking at a broad overview, the reason for our hope. But as we move ahead each week, we'll focus on things like our thankfulness for the gospel message, which is grounded in three things: faith, hope, and love. Then we'll move into some critical reflections and helps on the challenges that are often associated with ministries and trying to minister to each other and in churches working together and ministering to the needs of people. In our fourth and fifth installments, we'll receive encouragement as it relates to anxiety. That's appropriate for right now. And also how we can be a holy people and live an honorable life, which is also very appropriate right now. And in our concluding part, we save a critical part for last. We'll be reminded of why it is so important that we continue to proclaim the gospel, the good news, until Jesus returns. Very, very important. Now, in this letter today, we know and we're getting some insight into some of the challenges that the early Christians faced on a daily basis. And this letter to 1 Thessalonians is important because it gives us one of the earliest glimpses of what those first followers of Jesus faced. And you know, we may be able to identify with those experiences even 2,000 years later, because some of those life experiences are the same. And they speak to us. So it's believed that this letter could have been written as early as 49 A.D. and certainly by 54 A.D. So that's within anywhere from 18 to 22, 23 years from the time of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Thessalonica was on a very busy road, the Via Ignatia, that extended from Philippi through Thessalonica and ultimately connected to Berea. Now, for those of us at Berea Baptist Church, that's important, for we're named after that church that was started at Berea, and that is the place that Paul went to after he left Thessalonica. That might not mean a whole lot, but think of it this way. Think of the cities that you encounter if you were to get on the interstate and travel from Durham to maybe Washington, D.C. or Baltimore as you went up I-85 and then joined with I-90. Think of it like that. But here's what we know about Thessalonica. It was a diverse community. It included Jews and Greeks and Romans and God-fearers. Paul, Silas, and Timothy began by preaching first in the synagogues, and eventually they established the church. And here's something that's interesting. The time frame for this letter, and in terms of establishing a church, and then eventually moving to the next place, was anywhere from a few weeks to maybe no more than 6 months. Very intense. Very intense period of time. And so we're getting a brief snapshot of a very short time period and very real issues that were faced in that kind of time frame. Kind of reminds you of the COVID-19 timeline that we're in. Fast moving. You see, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is mentioned in this opening and then in the closing, is very, very critical. You know what it means? It really means that Jesus is our master, a person of authority. Jesus, the term, the word also means Savior, and Christ is the Messiah. And then here's something that we might not pick up in the English translation. Grace. It's a Greek word, charis. It was used as a greeting in the Greco-Roman world. It meant rejoice. But Christians have come to understand that grace is unmerited favor, undeserved kindness. So in using the word grace, Paul was speaking to his Greek and Roman audiences. But then when he also used the word peace, because remember he was starting in the synagogue, Jews understood that peace is shalom. Notice how inclusive Paul is being in the way that he is greeting those who hear this letter. Also, the word brethren, or the expression brothers and sisters, is mentioned 3 times in the conclusion, and it's mentioned 15 times in the letter. Paul was trying to be as inclusive as he could be. And he talks about the brothers and the sisters greeting each other with a kiss of friendship. Now today we oftentimes talk about that as a handshake or the right hand of fellowship. And you know, as we start to meet again, I have a feeling that that kiss and that right hand of fellowship will not be extended. We may be doing things like giving a thumbs up or a nod of the head. But we will greet each other in a way that we can understand. We know that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And then also note that this letter was intended to be read to the congregation. It wasn't just to sit there. And we can also assume that that letter circulated to other churches. It was a circular letter. It was mail that would have been sent throughout the world. It's kind of like our podcast. We can listen to them 24/7 from anywhere where we can connect to the internet. It's available. You see, these virtual podcasts are the current equivalent of the circular letters of the church. God has shown us another way that we can continue to uplift each other. No matter where we are, what conditions we find ourselves in, we can still share that good news. And you can share this celebration with persons you know. We can be evangelists, every one of us. We can share the good news. This letter ends just like it begins, with the reason for our hope, and it's God's grace. And it's made possible by our relationship, notice this phrase, with our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Savior. He has all authority, and He is our Messiah. So allow me, in these next minutes, to share with you why we have a reason for our hope, particularly as we face the challenges of daily life in a COVID-19 world and in a world of all types of disruption and concerns and uncertainties. Why can we trust God? Why can we have hope? Why can we know that the Lord Jesus Christ delivers and that God is our Savior? Now, to be complete in the religious sense, I'm going to use a little bit of religious symbolisms. I want to offer you 7 reasons why we're a people of hope. First, we can choose to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We have a choice. Through His crucifixion, His death, and resurrection, we are offered forgiveness of our sins. Or to put it very bluntly, we get a do-over. We also have the promise of eternal life. And get this, eternal life is not just something that's offered in the future. Eternal life begins with our acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You see, at that point, our life is restored, and it will continue to exist in God for all time. Second, we are not alone. We do not walk through this life alone unless we choose to. We can talk to God through prayer 24/7. Now, we know 24/7 because those of you that are working from home, you know that you're getting commands and tasks all times of the day. Doesn't matter what time it is. People are up at all hours. But did you realize that God is also available all hours, every day? Furthermore, we're empowered to live life to the fullest and face all challenges because our lives are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Comforter, the Counselor. Third, we are loved unconditionally by God. Go back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. We don't have to perish. We have life everlasting. We experience God's grace, mercy, and love. And number four, this is something that we forget sometimes. No one is beyond God's reach. No one. We are one in Christ. Contrary to what the world thinks, we are an inclusive group. and not exclusive. We strive to see each other and the world through Jesus' eyes. All people have value, worth, and dignity. Number five, we are a community of believers. We are a gathering of God's people. We are an ecclesia or a church, as Paul referred to as he was addressing the Thessalonians. But we're not just a church. We are a resurrected church. We worship, pray, study God's word, enjoy fellowship, mentor persons in the faith, and share the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number six, our life has a purpose. Rick Warren has reminded us of that in a very powerful book, The Purpose-Driven Life. You know, it begins very simply with a major paradigm shift. It's all about God and serving others. It's not about you and me. Therefore, we are to bring glory to God. You ask, well, how do we do that? We bring glory to God through our worship, like right now. We bring glory to God by loving other believers. We bring glory to God by being Christ-like. We bring glory to God by serving others through the various ways that God has gifted us. And let me tell you something, it's a popular expression. God doesn't create any junk. Every one of us has a gift. But we have to make a choice. Will we offer it to God and allow God to work through us with the gifts that we have been given? Or do we just let it atrophy? We serve God and bring glory to God by spreading the good news, by telling others about Jesus. We plant the seeds. And then get this, we watch and observe and share in the miracles God performs in people's lives. But we are charged, we are commissioned, we are commanded to plant that seed. We're partnering with God Almighty in this process. And then finally, number seven. Several years ago, David Jeremiah wrote a book called Captured by Grace. And it's based on that hymn, Amazing Grace, by John Newton. And I want to close today by sharing with you several things that we learn from that hymn. It's a beautiful hymn. It's a powerful hymn. Let's remember that our world is in need of God's amazing grace. The United States of America needs to experience God's amazing grace again and to understand what it really means. The world needs that amazing grace. The sound of grace is music to our ears. How sweet the sound, as the song goes. We need the saving grace that Jesus offers freely. By ourselves, we are lost in this world, but we can be found by God. You see, God does seek us out. But we have to be willing to allow God into our life. Grace can conquer our fears, especially in a COVID-19 world. We can see the world clearly as it really is, through God's eyes. He removes our blindness. Grace is a precious and unmerited gift. We receive the moment we first believe. Grace guides us through our suffering. And then don't forget this. Grace guides us through our suffering, and grace will lead us safely home to our eternal destiny. You see, we have many reasons for our hope in a COVID-19 world. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of these reasons. By focusing on the reasons for our hope, we can effectively address the anguish of our sorrows and our concerns and the challenges that we face. Wherever you are today, listening to this podcast, please know that if Jesus is speaking to you and you want to know Him as your Lord and Savior, you can. You can accept Him right now, right where you are. If you want to commit your life to Jesus and reaffirm your commitment to share the gospel, you can do that now, right where you are. Remember, Jesus loves you and me, unconditionally. He always will. And He wants to restore your life. Will you and I allow Him to do just that? Will we be willing to embrace the reason for our hope in today's world? So following the benediction today, allow the closing hymn to minister to your needs, to help you understand the reason for your hope, my hope, our hope. And also share the good news by sharing this podcast with others. Allow them the opportunity to hear the good news. So, as Paul said as he closed his first letter to the Thessalonians, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Your eyes toward heaven. Till you.